Gospel again. Sorry, you're a bit behind me now, but I just want to read first of all from Ephesians chapter 1. And I've headed up my talk, Princes or Paupers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. It's good, isn't it? In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. I want to share today, I want to remind us a little bit about the incredible calling which we have. And then I want to bring a challenge to each of us to make sure that we are living in the good of where Jesus has brought us rather than in the not so good. And so I've read there from Ephesians in that first chapter, the 6, 7, 8 different things that Paul says we've been blessed. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing has come our way because of him. He's adopted us as sons. I mean, that's just amazing. It wasn't by chance. He has chosen, he's adopted us, made us sons and daughters of God. He's redeemed us by his blood. He's paid the price. He's purchased us. We're not our own. We belong to him now. He's forgiven us, not just the past, but the present and every future sin as well is already been dealt with through his blood on the cross. Hallelujah. It goes on. He's revealed his purposes to us. That's amazing. He has helped us to understand something of what he's intending to do on this earth through the church, through people like you and me. He's chosen us. He's sealed us with his Spirit. Everybody who believes has been sealed by the Spirit of God. There's a mark in us of God, stamped by God. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is just an incredibly glorious gospel. And this is who Jesus has brought us into. Peter says, once we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Once we hadn't received mercy, but now we've received mercy. I mean, this is just incredibly good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. Once, Paul goes on to say, we were without God and without hope. But now he's found us, or we found him, and hope and purpose in our life has been restored. We're called to be sons and daughters of God, heirs of Christ, co-workers with him. An incredible privilege. a high calling. Once we were paupers, but now we're princes. You see, and compared to God, the call of God on our lives, we were all paupers before. Successful businessmen, lawyers, university graduates, city bankers with their outlandish bonuses, high flyers in society, not just ordinary folk like you and me. Compared to God's call, compared to the treasure of him and salvation, we were all paupers. Paul, who had a place of honor and esteem in the religious world of his day, said he counted it as all rubbish compared to knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So undeserved. He's lavished his love on each one of us, John tells us, making us children of God and part of his family. Hallelujah. But I want to now quickly look at another, well, look at one of Jesus' stories, a parable from Luke chapter 15. I want us to bear in mind what I've just been sharing there about what God's made us and where we've come from and who we are now. And Jesus tells us the parable, we call it the prodigal son or the lost son, in Luke chapter 15. In verse 11, he says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." I want to ask you a question. Was this young man a prince or a pauper? Well, the truth, of course, he was a prince and a son, and he always would be. But he ended up in a pigsty rather than a palace, and he lived as a pauper rather than as a prince. And do you know that can be the same for us? We've been saved, we've been redeemed, we've been adopted as sons, but if we're not careful, we can choose to live as paupers rather than as princes. You see, the father's plan for his son was always good, but the young man made some wrong choices. He left home prematurely. He was unwise with his money and choice of friends. He lived for today with no thought of tomorrow. Leisure and happiness were his goal. And it all ended in abject poverty. He even ended up as a refugee in a foreign land. No friends, No family, no money, no one to care for, no food, no job, no home. All the grand hopes of wealth and happiness came to nothing. His dreams were completely shattered. And that can be a picture of someone whose life is completely broken. Broken by events, by circumstances, broken spiritually, emotionally, and physically. True poverty. And sometimes that can be like us too. Before we were saved, that was us. We were all lost. But even after we're saved, and this is the challenge I want to bring. I might just be speaking to one or two. I might be speaking to more. We're called to live as princes and not as paupers. And we don't have to live like that son in the pigsty. We can live in the palace. What do I mean? Now, well, I know some stuff is out of our control. Some sicknesses, bereavements, redundancies, accidents. But even then, his grace is enough. I don't mean that harsh. I don't mean to come across hard. He promises to always give us enough grace in the time of need if we draw on it. But you see, some of the stuff which affects our lives is down to us. Like the young man, we can make wrong choices. And we suffer the consequences. Or worse, we continue to remain under the circumstances rather than over them. And you see, that's where the enemy wants us. A place of defeat, of misery, of hopelessness. But Jesus came to bring life. He came to make us sons and princes. Sorry, don't get daughters and princesses. You know, include that in there while I'm saying sons and princes. But the enemy's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I want to say, church, it's time to change. The good news is you don't have to remain in the pigsty. The palace is your inheritance. But you need to do something about getting out of the pigsty. You see, Jesus has done all that needed to be done. Now we have the choice to make. You see, it says about this young man, when he came to his senses. He was always a son, but he was living as a pauper. One time as he sat there in the mud, watching the pigs have their fill, his stomach aching with hunger, a revelation came to him. You see, before then he wallowed in self-pity. He was robbed of joy, robbed of purpose, robbed of fellowship, robbed of relationship with his dad. But then it dawned on him, I'm a son. What am I doing living in this pigsty when I've got a palace for a home? You see, different things can bring about that pigsty experience. It could be drugs or alcohol. It could be unforgiveness and a root of bitterness springs up. It could be disappointment. It could be wrong choices. It could be we've been listening to whispers of the enemy and we feel a failure and we feel we're never going to make it. Nobody loves us. We're not needed or we're not wanted. And begin to believe his lies. It could be your heart is broken and you feel betrayed or let down or you're depressed or you're sad. Your dreams have gone. That is life in the pigsty. Last week, Sean Dooley asked, what would be our hell? Do you remember that on Saturday? You know, hell was different things for different people. The thing I wrote down was, I can't quite remember how I put it, but robbed of a dream. For me, that would be awful. No purpose, no hope, no reason to get up in the morning. For me, that would be like a hell. That's life in the pigsty. And if we don't deal with stuff, we'll stay there. Some seem to even want to stay sad and miserable and feel sorry for themselves. About 23 years ago, me and my family, with Richard and Caroline, their family, were climbing a mountain in the lakes, Helvellyn. And we had a two-year-old daughter at the time. And it was 3,000 feet, so it was quite a trek to get to the top of this mountain. So we had to help Lisa, and Richard and I shared putting her on our shoulders, getting up to the top of this mountain. And about halfway up, she started to cry. And she didn't stop till we got down to the bottom again. And I said to this little daughter, I think it was on Richard's back, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I don't know, but I can stop if I want to, but I don't want to." And she cried all the way up and all the way down. And do you know what? I think for some of us, we like to live like that. And I don't know why. Why should I forgive? Why should I be happy? I'm sad and I'm miserable. I'm happy in the pigsty. Well, I don't think you need to stay there. Jesus didn't die for you to stay there. He died to bring you into a palace. You see, some stuff we just simply need to make decisions about and move on. Last weekend, I made a decision. I'm moving on. I've been in the pigsty long enough. I'm going back to the palace. And many others made that same decision. It's time to leave the hurt, the pain, the disappointments, the unfulfilled hopes behind and move on. Out of the pigsty to the palace, which is God's destiny and purpose for every one of us. We all have a choice. It's up to us. Jesus has done what needed to be done. The choice is now ours, whether we're going to get hold of that or not. Whether we're going to make a decision to enjoy our inheritance and dream or not. But if we want to get hold of that dream and that inheritance, we need to leave the past behind. You see, it's a biblical principle. To get hold of the future, you need to turn from the past, the good and the bad. Paul left aside all the glories and reputation of a Pharisee and a respected Jewish scholar to become a follower of Jesus. That was downgrading for Paul and his reputation. But for him, it was worth leaving all that behind that he might get to know Jesus. Abraham left his father's home and city to get hold of that for which God had called him for. And the Bible says he didn't even know where he was going, but he knew there was something more out there. And to get that, he had to leave behind his father's home and family and country. Do you remember Gideon? The angel says, "Mighty warrior." And for Gideon to get hold of that role which he'd been appointed for to lead Israel to conquer the Midianites, he also had to leave his father's home, but he had to leave this image of inferiority and uselessness and vulnerability and see himself as God saw him, as a mighty warrior and not the weakest of the weak and the smallest of the small. That mindset had to become part of the past for Gideon to get hold of that for which God had called him for. We need to do the same, church. No one can do it for you. It's actually called repentance. Turn around, change your thinking, and change your mindset. And that's what we all did when we came to know Christ in that moment. I'm a sinner. I need a saviour. I'm sorry. But to continue to live in the good of what God's called us to, we need to live in the good of that too. Like the sun, some of us need to make a decision and we need to act on it. You see, there's healing if we want it. There's forgiveness if we want it. There's love and acceptance if you want it. God's still got dreams for you if you want them. But it's not in the pigsty, it's in the palace. You'll still be a son, you'll still be a daughter, wherever you are. But actually the palace is where your destiny gets fulfilled. And the palace is where the party is. So this son got up and he returned to his father, to his rightful place. And he was received back as a son. He always was that son. That had never left him. But he didn't feel like it when he was feeding the pigs. But now he felt like a son again, totally forgiven, loved and accepted by his father. He was given a new robe, he was given sandals and a gold ring. That's what princes used to wear. And a party was thrown for him. Mourning was turned to dancing, sorrow replaced with joy. He came back and he experienced what it was to be a son again and to enjoy that relationship and fellowship. And so I just want to say, you know, if life feels more like a pigsty than a palace, you've got a choice too. I want you to believe that. Can you hear me? You have a choice. That son had a choice. We have a choice. Leave it behind. Turn around. Don't stay in defeat and self-pity. God's calling us to victory. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The enemies come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us abundant life. Circumstances may or may not immediately change. But to be a son, your head needs to change and your heart needs to change. At the end of the day, living as a pauper or a prince or living in defeat or victory is more to do with attitude of heart and mind than our circumstances. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why he died, to take us from death to life, from darkness to light, from judgment to grace, and to replace hopelessness with hope. He came to make you a son and daughter, not just doctrinally, not just you have to believe it intellectually. He wants you to know that he's your father and you're his. And you're special to him. But if you live in the pigsty, you never feel his love. You have to go to his home and enjoy life and fellowship with him to receive that sense of sonship. And that's what I want to encourage us to do this morning. To realize that we have a choice. And God's called us out of a pigsty to live life in the palace, where purpose and destiny, where joy and hope are. And so I want to encourage you. We're going to break bread in a moment or two. We're going to worship again, actually, in a moment or two too. And the reason for just bringing this table out here into the middle was I just felt I wanted us to share this informally, break bread with each other. But I want us to be thinking about, thank you, Lord. And, you know, this amazing grace thing. Thank you, Lord. I could have lived there, but you've taken me from there and brought me here. And some of you might be feeling, well, I know that in my head, but I'm not sure it's in my heart. Well, I would like us just to take the opportunity to ask people to pray with us. And we can pray together as the family of God. The idea was there wasn't a front. I mean, I'm speaking from here. But you know, together as the family of God, we can give to each other. And we can receive from each other. Now, Jackie and I will be hovering around here and one or two others, I guess, if you specifically want us to pray with you, we'd love to do that. But I want us to just be thinking to ourselves and think, is that me? Am I living life as a pauper? Am I living life without that sense and experience of purpose and sonship? Have I been robbed of all that Jesus died for me for? As you take the bread, that could all be restored to you. As you take the wine, that could all be restored to you. Or as you pray and share and fellowship, or come to the cross and just do business with God, that could all be restored to you. So I want to give you that opportunity to come to him, to experience him again. While we were just praying beforehand, one of the songs I've asked John we could sing is Light of the World. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down anyhow. Actually, John, I don't know whether we could begin to have some musicians. And I was thinking, we've come to worship. He's come to do so much for us, but more than anything else, the important thing is we've come to him. just as his children, just to come and tell him we love him and we appreciate him. John, I don't know whether we could start with that song, please. And we're just going to sing maybe some quieter songs for a little while. We might end with a bit noisier, I don't know, but just have some quieter songs. And as we worship the Lord together, I want to invite you to come and take the bread many times as you like, share it with as many people as you like. If you just want to take it for yourself, by yourself, then that's fine too. If you feel, yeah, this is the church God has called me to be part of, and I didn't have the opportunity last week or missed the opportunity last week, then I'm just leaving this here. There's loads of names there, as you can see, but there's not a sheet there. For people just to say, yeah, no, this is where I want to be. See, because this is what we're building with. These are the people where the cells and the 12s and ministries, you know, these are the people that we know are saying, I want to be going with into palace. I want the palace life. You know, I'm coming with you, Neville. Then just take that opportunity to put your name on there. But let's just worship together. I'm going to break the bread. In fact, I'll do that now. We'll thank God for it. And then the opportunity will be for us just to worship, break bread, and just receive from the Lord. And as I say, if you want prayer, let's ask each other for that too. So, Lord, we want to thank you that your body was broken, not in defeat, but your body was broken in victory. Lord, I want to thank you that your body was broken and the enemy was defeated. And 3 days later, you showed the world by rising again. And as we take this bread, Lord, I want to pray it will be more than just a bit of bread or even just a symbol, but it will be life, it'll be healing, it'll be hope. As we take this bread, something of the power of God will touch our hearts and lives again, that we might live as princes and princesses and know what it is to enjoy the love and the victory you've brought us into. We celebrate. We love you. And we thank you for your blood shed for our sins, Lord, that we might be clean, that we might be holy, that we might be righteous in your sight. We bless you, Lord. You are so good. Let's worship him. So the grape juice I'll stick here on the left side and the alcoholic wine will be here on the right. And let's stand together and...